The Monday, April 7th edition of the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission will come to order. We'll have roll call, please.
Hauser.
Present.
Donaldson.
Present.
Miller.
Present.
Steele.
Here.
Struthers, absent. Wendt, absent. Smith, absent.
You've been provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any additions or changes to note? Seeing none, we will approve the agenda. All in favor of approving tonight's agenda, respond by saying aye.
Aye.
Negative, same sign. The minutes are approved. You've been given a draft of the last month's minutes from the March 3rd, 2014 Planning and Zoning Commission. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved as in our packets. The next item on the agenda is public comment. This is for anything that is not on our agenda tonight. Is there anyone who would like to address something other than what's on the agenda? Seeing none, we will move on to...
Yeah.
To table business, which was the Natty subdivision. Is there anything new in that? No. And moving. Any old business? Moving on to new business, we are at agenda item 7.1, CUP 0C-14, the Black Adaptive Reuse Conditional Use Permit.
Good evening. Again, this is regarding CUP case 03 of 2014, also known as Black Adaptive Reuse, will be titled Granddaddy's Conditional Use Permit Request, owned by Black's Enterprises Inc., located at 0928-200-225 of a parcel of approximately 19 acres, zoned A1 agricultural. This parcel is classified as agricultural and contains many agricultural buildings for a farming operation that are presently not in use. The property is also used by Chandis Technologies for yard waste disposal, as well as Black Heritage Farm, a retail and novelty farm. Both of those uses were allowed through a conditional use permit, and it's located about a mile south of the city of Ames. Here you can see a surrounding property owner map that was sent to all surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the subject property, which is there highlighted in red. Get the pointer to work. All the surrounding property owners highlighted in blue there. You can see 530th Avenue. If you go straight north from there, you'll eventually run into Hilton Coliseum, Highway 30. The request, again, is for a conditional use permit to allow for what the applicant is calling Granddaddy's Roadhouse. This establishment would utilize an existing building on the property to provide live music entertainment three nights a week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, from March to November to start off with. The hours of operation proposed with this application is 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. During those Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings. They would look to provide cups of non-alcoholic drinks and mixers and ice, and allow patrons to bring their own bottle of liquor with which to mix with it. They would also have concessions available to serve food, presumably prepared off-site, as no commercial kitchen is proposed at this time. According to the promotional materials, they would also look to hold raffles and prize giveaways. Age restrictions, if any, have not been provided in the application materials. Continuing on the background of the request, the building's proposed is approximately 7,400 square feet and has a capacity, according to the applicant, of about 800 persons. In unincorporated areas of the county, such uses are not required to obtain a max occupancy rating from the State Fire Marshal's Office, according to staff. Our research of thus, excuse me, according to the applicant, this building has no running water, with restrooms being proposed to be provided by portable toilets. This request falls under the conditional use permit for adaptive reuse of abandoned schools, churches, or other institutional, commercial, or industrial buildings where proposed use or proposed combination of two or more principal uses on one lot within one building is not otherwise permitted. Here you can see the building that they proposed to use for Granddaddy's Roadhouse. And here you can see a close-up view of the aerial photo of the property. This is a site plan provided by the applicant. And the building highlighted in blue there is the proposed building that they look to use. Again, there you can see 530th Avenue. Copy of that site plan was provided in your application materials. I refer to it a couple of times throughout my presentation here. Continuing on the background, this business will be owned and operated by Dan and Shelly Habhab, who have entered into a lease agreement on November 11, 2013 with the property owner. A copy of that lease agreement was attached to your documents. In addition to Granddaddy's, the Blacks would also like to use the building to host events such as family gatherings, reunions, birthday parties, weddings, and corporate functions. Details on the hours of operation for these events have not been provided. As with all conditional use permits, we look at several standards of approval with determining whether or not the Planning and Zoning Commission should recommend approval of this to the Story County Board of Adjustment. First one, we look at compatibility. The note with compatibility is that the proposed buildings or use shall be constructed, arranged, and operated so as to be compatible with the character of the zoning district in immediate vicinity and not to interfere with the development and use of adjacent property in accordance with the applicable district regulations. The proposed development shall not be unsightly, obnoxious, nor offensive in appearance to abutting or nearby properties. Staff analysis of that criterion identified that the property is surrounded by agricultural land owned by Iowa State University. The nearest dwelling is located 1/2 mile north from the proposed site along the east side of 530th Avenue. The use will be located inside an existing concrete building. It's unclear to staff how this building may or may not muffle the sound of live rock and country band and a cheering crowd during performances, how that sound may bleed to surrounding properties. The hours of operation proposed for a use such as this is something the county has not seen in the A1 zoning district before. There are several conditional use permits that allow for event centers and whatnot. And normally in that case, those event centers are proposed to be closed by 11 p.m. at night. While the building may hold the sounds in, crowds will be outside to use the restroom, and traffic will be coming and going throughout the evening and early morning, and that may add to potential issues with this criteria. Looking at transition, that the development shall provide for suitable transition and, if necessary, buffer between the proposed buildings or use and surrounding properties. Staff noted that some transition is created by the distance of the facility to surrounding property owners, which is approximately 200 feet from the nearest property line to the west, according to the site plan. The property is surrounded by ag fencing, so there is some means to keep persons from entering or exiting the property onto surrounding properties. The applicant has proposed plantings along the north side of the property and perhaps the front, but application materials did not suggest that plantings were proposed to the west or the south property lines. Any traffic that the development shall provide for adequate ingress and egress, with particular attention to vehicular and pedestrian safety, convenience, traffic flow and control, and emergency access. noted that there are 3 points of ingress and egress located on the property that provide direct access to the proposed site. The applicant has not presented details regarding how traffic flow will be handled on evenings that may have a large turnout. With further noting related to that, it was the understanding of staff during our annual review of the CUP for Shamus Technologies that they did require traffic control on 5/30th during their free drop-off days due to heavy traffic. This is likely due to how traffic flowed through the site to drop off their yard waste rather than parking on site. staff nevertheless noted that the building proposed for this use does have a capacity of 800 persons, according to the applicant. If there are evenings in which there's a sellout crowd, congestion on 5/30th may be an issue unless there are plans in place to direct incoming traffic into the parking space in an efficient manner. Looking at parking and loading, that the development shall provide all off-street parking and loading areas as required by this ordinance and adequate service entrances and areas. Appropriate screening shall be provided around parking and service areas to minimize visual impacts, glare from headlights, noise, fumes, or other detrimental impacts. Noted that the site plan provided by the applicant shows 3 areas for parking, totaling approximately 3 acres, excuse me, of parking drives laid out in an orderly fashion, but it does not reflect where individual parking spaces are located, nor locations for ADA accessible spaces as required by our ordinance. Details for how the parking spaces will be marked and driving lanes constructed have not been provided. Just looking at the site plan that staff had to go off on what they were proposed, you may be able to see that there, and perhaps the applicant can allude to more detail on this, but where they have the drives located, it looks like a couple buildings may need to be removed for those drives to actually be laid out in the fashion that's presented in the site plan. But again, that those sorts of details we did not receive, but the applicant is here. They may be able to answer any questions you have about that. The number of potential vehicles parking on site on a regular basis, we did note that depending on how the parking spaces were constructed, it may create drivability issues after heavy rain or other weather event if the parking areas remain in the current composite of grass, dirt, and loose gravel. Looking at signs and lighting, staff noted that permitted signage, we look to see that permitted signage shall be in accordance with the applicable district regulations and shall be compatible with the immediate vicinity. Exterior lighting, if provided, shall be with consideration given to glare, traffic safety, and compatibility with the property in the immediate vicinity. Staff noted that no permanent signage was proposed with the application, but in conversations with the applicant, temporary signage will be used to promote granddaddies and the band lineup each week. Our ordinance does not allow for portable signs in A1 zoning district unless they are less than 6 square feet in area and under 4 feet in height. There is currently a sign on the property that is advertising granddaddies, which does not meet this exception and does not have a permit. A picture of that sign was attached to your application materials. This sign would need to obtain a permit and be in conformance with our regulations in order to be allowed. No additional lighting was proposed with the application materials, and it is unclear what lighting is currently present on site. Given that the majority of this operation would take place at night, a lack of appropriate lighting may be both a safety and security concern. And then finally, environmental protection, that the development shall be planned and operated in such a manner that will safeguard environmental and visual resources. The development shall not generate excessive noise, vibration, dust, smoke, fumes, odor, glare, groundwater pollution, or other undesirable hazardous or nuisance conditions, including weeds. Staff noted that in addition to the potential noise issue, as discussed earlier, the portable toilets may become an issue if there are too few portable toilets and or if they are not adequately maintained. According to the applicant, they have a recycle stay green program on the farm, and they plan to extend that to this use as well. And then finally, if they conclude that all of the above development criteria will be met, they shall approve the application and plans unless it concludes that based on information submitted and the application materials that there is a strong probability that the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property, or impair an adequate supply, including quality of light and air to surrounding property, or unduly increase congestion in the roads, hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers, or diminish and impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property, or not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the ordinance or the Story County Development Plan. Looking at that, staff noted that the statement of intent for the A1 zoning district is, in quotes, intended to and designed to accommodate land uses compatible with agriculture and to protect agricultural land from encroachment of urban land uses. Additionally, the property is designated as rural service and agricultural conservation of the Andrew Fringe Plan, which also has a goal to maintain the rural character of the countryside. Given the nature of the proposed operation as well as the hours of operation, staff is not certain that the proposal is in accordance with the above principles of the Land Development Regulations or County Development Plan. And while the Board and Planning and Zoning Commission reviews conditional use permits on a case-by-case basis, it may be important to discuss and call attention to the cumulative effect that all of the uses currently allowed on the property and all the uses being proposed. While there's little conflict between the uses based off their operation, staff found that their uses combined together may place an extra burden on county roads and may further take away from the rural character of the area and become more commercial in its nature. As with all conditional use permits, the burden of persuasion as to whether the development is completed as proposed will comply with the requirements of this chapter is at all times on the applicant. The burden of presenting evidence to the Board of Adjustment sufficient enough for it to conclude that the application does not comply with the requirements of the chapter is upon the persons or persons recommending such a conclusion, unless the information presented by the applicant warrants such a conclusion. Notification letters were mailed to surrounding property owners regarding the subject hearing on the request on earlier this month. Apologize for that typo there. We did receive some comments from county staff. First one was Jessica Reynolds, the first assistant Story County attorney. She noted that that she had attached in an email to us that the applicable materials from the Iowa Alcoholic Beverage Division for our review. She noted that there are no state licensure requirements for an establishment that allows people to bring their own beer or wine onto their premises. The establishment can even charge a fee for this without any license. However, she noted that hard alcohol is not allowed to be brought onto any premises, licensed or not. Further, she noted that the State Department of Inspections and Appeals regulates raffle drawings and licensure. She noted that any such drawings at Granddaddy's would be subject to approval by the DIA and the appropriate state licensure requirements. Margaret James, our Story County sanitarian, noted that as per the applicant, there is no running water for this facility. Portable toilets and hand washing stations will be provided. If interior plumbing is added, it will be necessary to install a septic system at that time. Normally, with all conditional use permits, staff suggests recommends conditions of approval that may bring a proposed conditional use permit more in line with the standards of approval per our analysis. We recommended nine conditions. First is that prior to the issuance of a conditional use permit, a detailed parking plan shall be submitted identifying the size and location of parking spaces, as well as the required number of ADA accessible spaces. Staff shall ensure parking plan is in conformance with the ordinance prior to issuing a conditional use permit. The applicant shall submit plans to prevent traffic congestion on 530th Avenue. Also, prior to the issuance of a conditional use permit, the applicant shall provide a copy of a license or letter from the Iowa Alcoholic Beverage Division stating no license needed to allow patrons to bring beer and or wine on the premise. No hard alcohol shall be brought onto the premises at any time. The hours of operation for Granddaddy shall be limited from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. Thursday through Saturday. The event center shall be open from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. 7 days a week and shall be limited to weddings, family reunions, gatherings, birthday parties, and corporate functions. Other events shall be submitted as a modification and reviewed and approved by planning and development staff on a case-by-case basis. Further, no raffles shall take place without proper permitting from the Iowa Department of Inspections and Appeals. Once a permit is obtained, a copy of the permit shall be presented to the Planning and Development Office. Prior to the issuance of a conditional use permit, a permit shall be obtained for the site currently on site. The sign shall be permitted in accordance with our ordinance. Prior to the issuance of a conditional use permit, a lighting plan shall be submitted showing adequate safety lighting along all access drives, property, and building entrances. Such lighting shall be in conformance with Section 88.09 of our ordinance as determined by staff. At no time shall vehicles be parked in the road right away along 530th Avenue. The conditional use permit shall be reviewed by the Board of Adjustment 6 months from the date of approval. If it is found that at any time any of the above conditions are not met or other issues are presented that cannot be corrected through additional conditions, the permit shall immediately expire. With that, I leave you with the following four alternatives, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Oh, where to begin? Could you tell us, Ryan, if under the conditions of approval, these recommendations has our applicant been made aware of those recommendations?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we placed the application and staff report on our website with the agenda.
Questions.
Bluntly, I just don't see how it's going to work. There's too many things that have to be done, to bring them into compliance. Okay. You can go down that list. You know, just even look at the one about hard liquor. How's that going to be enforced? And the porta potty, I think, present a real problem.
Yeah. Questions for Ryan?
I'm sorry. He's aware.
Well, what I just said applies to you. I think that you've done a very thorough job of outlining all of these things. Has there been any communication from YSU, since that's the surrounding?
We haven't received any comments or questions from surrounding property owners, which would include Iowa State University Board of Regents.
Are you aware of any future proposed use of that farmland that's surrounding the property?
But we have surrounding the property? No. Not the
farming it, right?
Yeah, it's currently surrounded by cropland.
Are there parking surface requirements? Let's say this was in a commercial district and was proposed as a traditional parking surface requirements, meaning you can't concrete, asphalt, crusher up, anything like that?
Don't deal with it a lot, so I don't have that part of it committed to memory. I think Leanne might be.
Like, something like at least crushed rock would be the standard. And maybe while she's looking at that, would this trigger, if the conditional use permit were granted, would it trigger the site planning requirements that are required of commercial uses, or is that only in a commercial district that those are required? You know, a site plan that would be a little more detailed than what's submitted with the application, something that lays out the specifics of widths of parking spaces, runoff management, you know, that.
I will say in discussions that Leanne and I had a similar discussion, and we found that those parking requirements, I think in the spirit of the ordinance, were intended for when the parking is associated, was made with an impervious surface, concrete or otherwise. You know, our maximum parking spaces are intended to minimize impervious surfaces associated with commercial development. And in cases where impervious surface isn't proposed with parking, we typically don't look as closely at that. But I don't know if there's a hard and fast requirement in our ordinance as to when and when we do not apply those site planning requirements.
Other question, in your interdepartmental review, do you normally submit to the sheriff's department as well and ask for feedback from that department, or is that?
No, we do not.
Yeah, okay, so we don't have any feedback from them on this. This is, would seem like the rare occasion when a proposal would actually
warrant that.
The sheriff's department might actually be interested.
Exactly.
In this. I know it doesn't come up very often, but this would be one of those, I would think. That's all I had.
In regards to the question on requirement for paving surface or type of surface, we don't specify it.
Okay.
Not in any means. In regards to the sheriff's and the interagency review, what we do is we rely on emergency management, Keith Morgan,
sure,
to provide feedback.
And we didn't have any feedback from
him. I think he might have said no comments, or yeah, it wasn't one that just jumped out.
Okay.
How do you decide on the time limit from 7 p.m. to 12? Tell me where that comes from. And why is it different if you're having a wedding party there? They have to be done at 11, but the other establishment can be 12.
I guess I was anticipating happy medium, as it were. There's no requirements in our ordinance for something like that. So. The lack of consistency between what's proposed with the event center versus Granddaddy's, like, I'll just say that, again, that it's just kind of trying to split the difference between what they proposed and what may or may not be in accordance with the standards approval.
Is it appropriate to bring in what the other two requests are, a church and a campground? Is that appropriate to?
At this time, you need to just focus on the adaptive reuse because all three are individual cases. But as Ryan said, saying that, you also need to remain cognizant of the human effect of what
you. Yeah. Okay.
Can I ask about current lighting? Are there security lights out there? Could you point those out on the map where there aren't any?
There are no details on current lighting provided in the application materials. I'm sure that the applicant may be able to bring that more to light.
Susan, did you have any questions?
I do not. Nothing that hasn't already been asked.
Susan, can you still hear okay?
Yes, pretty good. It's in and out just a little bit, but I'm catching everything pretty.
Okay, thank you.
All right, are our applicants, Noreen Black, in the room? And would you
Where is she supposed to go? Our podium's not pulled out.
So, like, the podium...
Normally, we have the podium pulled out for you, so just give us a second.
My name is Noreen Black. I'm the property owner. I'm here with my husband, Dwayne Black. I don't know how much information you folks have received in the paper. I'm Noreen Black. I'm here with my husband, Dwayne Black, this evening. We are the property owners of Black Heritage Farm. We've been there 5 generations. I don't know how much paperwork you have received from us or documentation that has been provided for you. But I would like to, at this time, give you a little bit of that. And I thank you very much, Ryan, for all of your hard work and effort on what we have tried to work together on. As afore noted, this is the first we've seen of some of these things this evening. So we did not have a chance to respond to any of that until tonight. So I will do my best to go over those questions. Oh, gosh. All right. I'll eat this thing. Let's see. I guess let's start off by saying that at Black Heritage Farm, for the last 10 years, we have operated as a tourist farm. We have complied, bought insurance, and had many, many visitors at the farm in order to visit what a real farm really is. We have had many, many functions there. Family reunions, weddings, a wake, a proposal. All types of different functions have happened at our farm, keeping in the mood with what a farm is all about. I'm sure everyone who's been on a farm in the past or visited a farm knows that there's daily work, chores, there's reverence, there's every type of family function you can think of happens at the farm. Our son got married at our farm, and we did have a function there. We had over 300 people there. There wasn't a complaint. There wasn't any problems with the community whatsoever. These are the types of events that we would like to continue with, and that's what we are asking for. Granddaddy's is an addition to what we've been doing for the last 10 years, and I don't know if you did receive any of the paper documentation about Granddaddy's, but indeed, the RFTD information that you were supplied with, hopefully, helped open up our eyes and help us see that there's more for us to do at our farm. They are proposing to come to the farm, do 16 episodes, which will not only help the community, it will help put Ames on the map, it will help put Story County on the map, it will bring a lot of money to this community. That is seen not only nationwide, but in some cases worldwide. So indeed, if we can get in compliance with some of these things, the reason we asked for the 4 a.m. was the taping of these episodes that are going to happen at the farm. You have previews and aftermath when you do these tapings. Sometimes you have to start the band up again and do it all over again. So I think that was the reason that we said till 4 a.m. because some countries pick up the channel at different times. So those were the times that we had coincided with RFTD TV. Some of the other things that we would like to address is the Kaibo situation. You've got 45,000 people up the road using Kaibos at the football games. I'm certain there's a Kaibo organization that would be willing to accommodate our events because we will never have 45,000 people loose needing a Kaibo on our farm. As far as traffic, our seed farm put thousands and thousands of cars, trucks, vehicles through our property over the years and did it without accidents, without incidents, without problems. We have held events at our farm before and had over 1,000 cars parked on our property. Not one person went in the ditch. Not one person was harmed. Not one person had a problem. To my knowledge, we're probably very understated as far as a tourist farm goes. We intend to keep very good care of our customers. We hope to keep them overnight if necessary. And that's one of the reasons we're moving ahead with this camping thought process. There were some other discussions about stayovers, but we're going to try to comply with this at this point in time. I think one of the problems that happens with traffic is we've experienced that with Chemnitz. They refuse to bring people in on the property, so they end up with people hanging out on the road. We've had multiple discussions about this, and hopefully they will comply this time and not tie up the road. Because that's spring, and there are a lot of farmers that like to go up that road. Ours is evening. Hopefully no farmers will be out after hours moving the equipment around that late in the evening. We ourselves stop at dusk. We try not to work after dark because of all the problems that can happen. As far as parking, we have had several people give us bids on straightening our property around. And if you would be so kind as to put our map up again for me, please. Up here in the north end where the arrow is by the west, that all needs to be scraped. I'm sure you're all well aware that we have not been able to work with the ground frost that we've got going on. We've got a gentleman who gave us a bid. He's just about ready to go. That area will be addressed and straightened around and leveled off so that it can hold not only campers, if that comes to fruition. Otherwise, that would be the perfect parking for the event centers. As you can see, there's two buildings there. So indeed, we could have more things inside that building if we needed to and have other events as well as granddaddies. I think we're getting the cart ahead of the horse with this granddaddy thing because, indeed, this building is designated for us as an event center. We intend to hold as multitude of events as we can there. The public has come to us. In fact, the Ames Tourist Association or group came to us 2 years ago and tried to convince us to do this. And one of the conditions that we had was, of course, we had to use our conditional permit in order to do it because we are in Story County. We did not sell our property to Ames, City of Ames, so we are still in the county. The properties that do surround us, you've got a lot of traffic going east and west from the dairy. At 4 in the morning, the dairy truck comes and goes. They're probably the most user on this road. They have a lot of traffic on this road, the east and west road. So in order to help with all of the situations, we are going to plant a row of trees there to help with dust, noise, so that they don't see us and we don't see them. This other area where it says camping area is straight here where it's east, all the little lines. Thank you, Ryan. Those are the areas that we hope to utilize for people to pull in with their campers because the electric pole, of course, is out here by the roads. That would be the easiest to pull the electricity to without spending millions of dollars. We did a lot of research on these camping areas, and people are just looking for a place to go and relax and kick back. And the biggest thing is families. People don't have a lot of money, so for them to belong to Cuddy's or some of these other expensive areas when we have such a beautiful opportunity right here in Ames where, you know, just within not even 2 miles of Ames, you could come and camp out and hang out. This other area here, which I think is supposed to be designated C, is where all the buildings are. There's a conglomeration of buildings there. Now, keep in mind, we used to be a seed company. Every building there had a purpose. And so now some of the buildings are being rented out to other folks to utilize for their ideas or whatever they're doing. We still utilize If you'd be so kind. Those are the ones that we utilize for raising our sweet corn, storing our pumpkins, doing all of our vegetables and that kind of thing. The one little building to the north, we process our popcorn in there. We hope to open up some of these buildings, and especially this building right there, which is the that building is the original elevator that was on the property. How wonderful it would be for people to come and see that elevator operating, that indeed it used to do seed, millions of dollars worth, and now we do our popcorn occasionally through it, and it would make a wonderful tourist vision for people to come and understand what it takes to run a farm and what types of things farms do. Iowa State came to us 4 years ago and wanted us to do some of these functions as well. We didn't ever get that to materialize. Part of it was through hotel management, and part of it was with the people from Nebraska wanting to do a commercial kitchen. Both of those endeavors would have taken a lot of out-of-pocket money on our side, and so we vetoed that and tried to move this direction, thinking that indeed being this close to town, this close to an ag college, we might be able to capitalize in a different version. I would say that Granddaddy's is 20% of what we're asking, and Black Heritage Farm is 80% of what we're trying to do at our farm. We have people that have called us trying to book weddings. I go to a lot of shows. I probably do 4 or 5 a year and promote our farm and get people to come to our farm with their group or their family or, you know, whatever function they want to try to have, a picnic, once again, the weddings or those types of things, reunions. We like to have family reunions because it reminds the people of the farm. You know, anybody over 50 has been on a farm in some fashion. So I think that that's kind of it in a nutshell. We do have security lights on the property. There are 3 of them. They light up the middle driveway. There's one back almost by the blue building, so you can see there's one here by Granddaddy's, about right there. And there's one up in this area right here to help you see to get in this driveway. And then there's one down here on this side that helps you get in this driveway. We do have multiples of little lights that go on when you pull in, so that that area is lighted when you come in down here. We did that after Chandler came because they were getting people that came in the south driveway, and then they rented one of these units from us to put together their plastic receivers for, they go around to collect food scraps. As far as our Thinking Green process, we are going to print on the tickets for people that says to think green and leave no trace. We don't want unsightly beer bottles, cigarette butts, any of the things that go along with this type of thing. We have visited other areas, other tourist farms, down at the Budweiser farm, Grant's farm in St. Louis. You won't see trash. You won't see any leftovers. You won't see anything. So we intend to follow that. Leave no trace. I hope I've covered all of it. As far as the porta potties go, I don't know if anybody's seen them lately, but they're right up to speed. Some of them are heated. Our source, King's Throne, says that they will come clean every day if necessary. They're going to be on standby for us when we have these events. They want to build their reputation as clean porta potties. Just about every farmer's market I go to has porta potties, and they have a handicapped one. Almost everyone is required to have handicapped anymore. It's just so hard to put in a handicapped facility at a farm. We do have tourist farm restrooms in my house so that when we do functions on our side of the road, that is available. Once again, we would have to address this area right here, which is where our septic is, if we were going to put water and septic into that event center. But when we tell people that we're going to provide porta potties as restrooms, most people, they know they're coming to a farm, they know they're coming to some, you know, an open air event or an event that is not going to be the Marriott. And so I think that that's Let's see. I think I've covered all of what I heard some of the questions were at the moment. Do you have any questions of me?
How did you determine your potential occupancy numbers?
As far as the 800 people?
Yep.
Just the size of the building, and then after you took out where the stage is, where the receiving area is, where the ticket area is, that left us with that.
That's how many chairs can fit in the building?
That's how many people could be seated or could be in the building.
And do you plan for...
Oh, no. I doubt we'll ever get 800
people. No, I mean, do you plan to seat all the attendees? Or
oh, no.
They will be standing?
There could be some standing space, yes. Mm-hmm. It depends on what the event is.
Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, we have to consider that if that's the occupancy of the building, and if you're, I mean, if you certainly would have my hopes that you'd be extremely successful, so you need to anticipate that.
Right.
If that's the capacity of the building, then
right.
That's what we need to plan for.
I think when we signed up for the permit in the beginning, they asked us how many people we thought, and it was suggested that we put the maximum. So that,
okay.
Indeed, if you start at 300 or you start at 500, I would rather be ahead of the curve than in violation.
Would you be willing to consider a maximum occupancy that is lower than the potential capacity of the building?
Of course, yes.
For at least some lifespan of the conditional use permit?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And what level would you be willing to consider? 400? 200?
Well, I'd like to stay in the 400 or 500 range,
okay.
If we could, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, you're not allowed, sir. You're not allowed to speak from the floor. Yeah. Sorry.
Maybe I can address what he's trying to say. He did do some research. Is that what you're talking about on the on the CD? And what did you come up with again? Yeah, it was between 400 and 500 is what we figured would be seated customers. Yeah. But we built a rail around the outside so that people could stand. There are people that just don't like to sit when music is going on. And after all of the places that we have reviewed and seen, when you go to Tennessee, to some of the places that have functions like what we're doing, which is the tourist capital of the world for this type of event, by the way, and they have all the breweries down there as well, there were a lot of places that had... like above seating or canopy seating or balcony seating, I guess is the word I'm looking for, which was an interesting concept so that, like you say, you would have more capacity that way. That was a food for thought for us as well.
Okay. I understand that we have to take each of these applications individually and act on them individually, but I think it's going to be terribly difficult not to consider the combined impact of them. And so some of my questions are going to reflect that.
That's understandable.
Do you anticipate that all of the points of ingress and egress on the site will be used for all of the potential uses?
No, we have blocked off the middle of our property, the middle driveway right here, multiple times when we've had jamness. To keep people from going in there to be confused, we would do the same thing for this, that they would enter only here and exit only here, simply because of that situation. We don't want them driving around buildings, running into things, running into people.
You're saying for the concert hall?
Everything.
For everything, for the campground, for
yes. We don't want
church.
People going in that middle driveway. That's our area. I don't want to pull out of there with a load of sweet corn and have some camper run into me.
When you say our area, you mean for Black Heritage Farm?
Yes, yes. That's the area that we've designated for us to utilize for our vegetables and the things that we do.
Okay, but so for the church, the concert hall, concert
everybody
slash
comes in the north driveway.
Hall,
yep, everyone comes in the north driveway.
The Shamness landscape disposal and the campground. So we're talking four... potential uses all seasonal.
Yes.
Using at the same time.
Correct.
The same two points of egress. And
yep. When we were a seed company, there were anywhere from 50 to 100 trucks drive through those very same driveways. On any given day, we were bringing seed in. People were picking things up. We had 40 employees coming in and out of those driveways. The office was in the middle of where that middle driveway was. Very few people came in the middle driveway, the owners and the secretary.
And then my last question is, have you contacted a porta potty company?
Yes, we have. In fact, that should have been in your
okay.
Yep, King's Throne.
Okay.
Yep.
And you've discussed with them your potential occupancy and what they would recommend for numbers of.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And when you regrade the parking area, when it's done, will it have rock on it, or does it go back to grass?
No, there'll be rock.
Okay.
I don't want someone pulling in there with a $240,000 camper and get stuck, because I don't want to be liable for that. Yes, we intend to spend a little money on this property because we've owned this piece. It's been in our hands for over 10 years now, and we need to do something with it. We've had multiple people come look at it, Denny Elwell, Iowa State, Nat Properties. Several people have come and looked at it. I would say two-thirds of them told us to bulldoze these buildings and just give it up. I am not of that opinion right now. We've been there five generations, and we've made it work, so we'll figure something out.
Nancy, were you talking about the parking lot where campers would be, or the parking lot next to the event hall?
This is the parking. Yes, that was the hope, is to get this regraded and so that it could be used for customers and camper overflow right here. And then this is where we were hoping to put campers. This area can be general parking so that indeed, like, ourselves, staff, whoever can utilize this parking. But the slowdown here has been, once again, the weather. The frost has been in the ground just too long for us to get busy.
When it comes to the Chamness business, what days do they do? Is that a Saturday that they have those drop-off days?
Yes, and they are done by 4 o'clock.
So you think that that's all... you're able to coordinate all that.
Oh, yes. No problem. We used to load trucks in and out of these areas here where all these warehouses were, and we never had a truck on the road. Never. And it takes a lot longer to load a truck than it would to drop leaves off.
When we discussed the previous CUP, for Chamness, that seemed to me to be a whole different ballgame than what we're looking at here.
In what regard?
Pretty much everything we've talked about, okay?
Well, those cars are moving, keep in mind. They only stop to unload. They're not parked.
No, my point was, that was certainly a reasonable addition from my thinking, to an agriculturally related heritage farm.
But we're a tourist farm, and their debris has definitely left a situation at our farm that's causing us a lot of problems.
Did you say that you have 40 full-time employees?
We used to.
How many do you have now?
Pardon?
How many do you have now?
Depending on the season, anywhere from 5 to 20, depends on how many tomatoes we're raising or what our contracts are.
If we approve this conditional use permit, how many employees will you have when the event center is open, granddaddies? How many employees?
Anywhere from 10 to 20 at least.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about was cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that When you bring in beer and wine, which you can't do any hard liquor, not everybody's going to be neat.
We know. That's why we're posting leave no trace, and we will take good care of it, believe me.
How will you enforce that?
Enforce their mess or
their mess?
Cleaning up after them.
Well, since you're thinking by posting this sign that says leave no debris, how are you going to enforce that?
Well, they can't get out of the building without taking things with them, so everything will be inside the building.
So they will have to remain in the building as opposed to wandering around outside.
We're not,
you know, if it gets really hot, you know, in the building,
I want to take a breather.
I invite you to come and visit that building when it's 100 degrees. It's the coolest place on the farm.
That was an example.
Okay.
Also, the examples that you gave regarding traffic situations seem to me to be different than what may eventually occur in terms of the number of cars and so on.
Right. We experience overflow, afterflow from the football games, and they come tearing down our roads on Saturdays, probably more than we are going to experience at our place, because indeed we will monitor the traffic. We've hired a company from Omaha to help us with security as well as traffic flow. So I don't anticipate any problems. They have worked at the Quest Center over in Omaha, so they're very experienced in this. I know that there are other event centers around the county that have had and experienced problems with traffic, and so we have stepped ahead of that game in order to get that under control before we start.
Susan, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Applicant, otherwise I'll let her sit down. Thank you.
I would just like to add that our situation with Chamness has deteriorated because we have requested that they comply with their lease with us, which was to remove the debris from our property, and they have left it for a year now. It is causing us undue distress. The pile has helped encourage the growth of rats, mice, and rabbits. It has a family of foxes living out there that ate one of my goats. And unless Chamness gets on the ball and gets that cleaned up, we are going to have some serious problems. We have been there a long, long time. And we don't like our things messy, trash, or destroyed. Once again, we're a fifth-generation family farm. Anything else?
Thank you. Any further questions for Ryan? Oh. Yeah, now comments from the public will now be heard. Any other comments? Any further questions for staff?
I'd like to say that I think staff did a very thorough job, and I appreciate that.
I'm still just a little confused on the conditions of approval, how you arrived at stating these nine conditions. If they're not required by, how did you arrive at these? If they're not required by regulation, how did you arrive at them? Some of them are.
I don't believe there's any that I'm not following you, I guess. Which ones are not required by regulation?
The time of business.
Yeah, again, you know, when we're proposing a condition of approval, we're looking at potential issues that came up during our analysis and ways that we can ameliorate some of those issues. So it's up to the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment to decide if those are appropriate or not, but those are what we came up with during our analysis.
Nancy, also some of the, at least one of those regarding the types of alcohol, that's a state thing. Yeah, that goes beyond our planning and zoning rules and regs. And guess what? They got precedence over us.
It is an advantage
these are the types of things that you can't fully anticipate when you write a code, so you allow them to be approved conditionally with a hearing. And so there is that flexibility to apply conditions that will make it work. So you are kind of going by feel a little bit as to what you think will help the situation. But it's going to be hard in this case to come up with any conditions that don't seem at least a little arbitrary, I think. I think that's often the case with conditional uses.
Motion.
I think this is a pretty intense commercial use.
Yeah.
Most intense of those that the applicants are seeking tonight. And I don't feel that the applicants have demonstrated that all the conditions for approval
agreed
at, nor even by adding staff's recommended conditions that we're going to get to that point where this fits with the agricultural nature of the area and doesn't cause any of those additional parking, access, transition problems. I would therefore recommend to the Story County Board of Adjustment denial of the conditional use permit, CUP 03-14.
I'll second that.
We have a motion that on the floor to for alternative number 3, and it has been seconded. Is there any further discussion? Susan, do you have anything to add?
I do not.
I'll call for a roll vote.
Donaldson?
I agree with the motion, so yes.
Okay. Couser? Steele?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Motion carries. For denial.
Nancy, can I ask a question, Brian?
I don't know if it's going to change anything, but...
No, I just want... I mean, this goes forward to the Board of Adjustment, regardless of a positive or...
Correct. Yep, they'll see it on April 28th. With your motion.
And the applicants are able to submit additional information between now and then?
Correct.
Moving forward to item 7.2, CUP 05-14, the Black Conditional Use Permit.
Yeah, this is also known as Black Church Conditional Use Permit. Also owned and on the same property as our previous case. The request is for a conditional use permit to allow for a church in A1 zoning district. According to promotional materials, the staff found the church will operate from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Sundays. Food will be served following the church services, presumably catered from an outside source, as no commercial kitchen is proposed at this time. The church will initially be located in the same existing building as proposed in CUP 03-14. It would utilize the same parking areas as proposed in CUP 03-14. The applicant is unsure at this time how many persons to expect for services. There's no running water in the facility, with restrooms and hand washing being provided by portable toilets and hand washing stations. Again, the same building. Same type plan. Looking at compatibility, staff noted that the property is surrounded by agricultural land owned by Iowa State University. The nearest dwelling is located 1/2 mile north of the proposed site. The use will be located inside an existing concrete building. transition. Some transition is created by the distance of the facility and surrounding properties. The structure is located approximately 250 feet from the nearest property line. The property is surrounded by ag fencing. The applicant has proposed plantings along the north side of the property and perhaps the front, but not proposed plantings on the west or south, according to application materials. Get traffic. There are 3 points of ingress and egress located on the property that provide direct access to the proposed site. It is the understanding of staff that the CUP for Chamness Technologies required traffic control. If the church accommodates maximum capacity of the building, traffic congestion may be an issue without a plan in place to efficiently park vehicles on site. Parking and loading. Site plan provided by the applicant shows 3 areas for parking. Does not show individual parking spaces or locations for ADA accessible spaces as required by our ordinance. Details on how the parking spaces will be marked and driving lanes constructed have not been provided. The number of potential vehicles parking on site on a regular basis may create drivability issues after heavy rain if the parking areas remain in the current composite grass, dirt, and leaf gravel. No signage is proposed currently. Any plans for future signage for the church specifically shall be submitted to the planning and development staff for review and approval. Church services will take place during the day, so lighting on the site, exterior lighting, should not be an issue. Environmental protection. Churches typically have little impact on environmental and visual resources. And again, according to the applicant, they have a Recycle Stay Green program on a farm. They intend to extend to this use. With the final state standards of approval, staff just noted that several churches have been established throughout the county in the A1 zoning district, several large churches, in fact, and have not shown any conflict with these principles. And again, language regarding burden of persuasion. Notification, letters and legal notifications. Received a comment from county staff, Margaret James County Sanitarian. As per applicant, there is no running water for facility. Portable toilets and hand washing stations be provided. If interior plumbing is added, it will be necessary to install a septic system. Looking at the standards of approval, now staff analysis of those, we propose or recommend the following conditions: that prior to the issuance of a conditional use permit, a detailed parking plan shall be submitted identifying the size and location of parking spaces as well as the required number of ADA accessible spaces. Staff shall ensure the parking plan is conformance with the ordinance prior to issuing a conditional use permit. Applicant shall keep weekly records of the approximate number of people and vehicles attending services and shall supply records to staff 1 year after approval. Permit shall be reviewed by staff and the Board of Adjustment 1 year after approval. They shall determine at that time whether the number of people and vehicles attending church services warrants any additional conditions of approval and a further and or further review in the future. Any use of a different structure for church services shall apply for a modification to the original conditional use permit, as well as any changes to what has been presented to staff in the application materials in this report. With that, I leave you with the following 4 alternatives. Again, I'd be happy to answer any questions if I'm able.
Brian. Seeing no questions? Okay.
When you look at the former one and this one, what we're looking at.
Two different uses proposed are at different times of the day, different days of the week, so didn't really see any compatibility issues with them using the same building. Just from my perspective, though.
Questions?
Ms. Black, would you like to present?
Once again, I'm Mrs. Black, property owner. I am here with my husband, Dwayne Black. And the proposal that we have here is on Sundays. We started this process 3 years ago. I don't know if you folks are aware, but First Methodist Church is one of the only people that I know of that is handing out free food to the general public. They do it on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. In the past, we have given money and produce and food to this situation, and we service over 100 people almost every time. And that's pretty sad that a city like Ames in Story County has that type of a situation. So having had that brought to our attention, we decided that if we utilize this building and we could get people to come visit the farm and have a day away from whatever stress they have going on in their life and provide a meal after service just to help their day. Any questions?
Is there a congregation that you have communicated with about using the facility, or
there's a multitude? There are several churches that are willing to cooperate with this situation and have services there and try to do things like clothing drives, bicycle drives, food. It's amazing how much when a community comes together, we can help those in need.
So you're not talking about an exclusive lease to a particular congregation,
no.
Rather an
we're trying to sign
event by event, Sunday by Sunday type of arrangement.
No, we hope to do it every Sunday if we can, but it would be up to the churches to help us do this. So far, we have three churches that have signed up and are willing to do a multitude of services and provisions to help the situation move forward.
Any further questions?
Non-denominational church.
Correct.
Will there be ministers? Will there be sermons?
Correct. We have done multitudes of open-air services on our side of the road at our cabin. We've had the weddings and the proposals and the family reunions, and we always bless our meal. So this has been going on for quite some time, just not to this magnitude. Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. When we had the wedding at our cabin and had over 300 people there, we had our minister there. When we had the reunion there, we had two ministers there. One from out of state came and blessed our meals. So we've had service probably for the last 10 years, maybe 13 years, at our property. Every wedding should have a minister. Every event should have some type of acknowledgement of where we came from.
Further questions? Thank you.
Good.
I'm guessing that there aren't any public comments, but I'll ask anyway. Any further discussion with the group or questions of staff? Pardon me? Oh, Susan, did you have any questions?
I do not have any questions. Thank you.
I make a motion that we accept condition number 4. And send it back. Table and send it back. Because there's a lot of conditions that our staff recognized. So that would be my motion. If there's no second, then we'll take a look at something else.
Is there a second? Seeing none, do I have a, well, let's see now, what do I do?
Another.
Held for lack of a second, so now I will entertain any other motion.
I would move that we use option one, recommending conditional approval, in particular those conditions outlined by staff in the staff report to the Board of Adjustment.
Do I hear a second to this motion?
I second.
We have a motion for item number one, a conditional approval, and the conditions being the items that were listed by staff. And this has been seconded by Susan Donaldson. Any discussion on this?
Is that option one or was that option two, as I look at it? Okay.
Roll call. Steele.
Yes.
Couser.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Donaldson.
Aye.
Motion passes. We will move along on our agenda to item number 7.3, CUP 06-14, Black Conditional Use Permit.
Yep, again, this is regarding CUP 06 of 2014 for property, including property previously discussed, as well as two properties on the east side of 530th. Totaling approximately 60 gross acres, zoned A1 agricultural. And you can see again, there's the property with all the buildings on it, and then the Black's residence, where the majority of Black Heritage Farm is located, as well as this cropland surrounding that area, were all identified in the application materials for the campground area, which would provide primitive camping spaces for campers, tents, and pickups. Primitive spaces can be described as not having water, sewer, or electrical available. The number of spaces made available or the location of spaces is not clear. In discussions with the applicant, it was assumed that the capping area would be in the northwest corner of the parcel on which the proposed roadhouse and event center is located. However, in the application materials, the applicant mentions parcel 09271005, which is cropland on the east side of 530th that surrounds the farmstead and main site for Black Heritage Farm. For the purposes of this analysis, I will actually amend what I say there to include the information that was brought forth during previous cases, that it will be located on the northeast portion of parcel 09282025. There you can see proposed area, again already identified by the applicant during the previous presentations. First, we look at, during our analysis of standards of approval, we look at compatibility. Staff noted that the property is surrounded by agricultural land and is owned by Iowa State University. The nearest dwelling is located half a mile north of from the proposed site. I may start to sound like a broken record. I apologize. We're going to transition. The property is surrounded by ag fencing. The applicant has proposed plantings along the north side of the property and perhaps the front, but has not proposed plantings to the west or south. Looking at traffic, there are three points of ingress and egress on the property that provide direct access to the proposed site. These entrances have accommodated tractors and or large farming equipment in the past, so should be adequate for even the largest of motorhomes. Parking and loading details we'll get into during our supplemental standards. Commercial campgrounds must adhere also to supplemental standards. Looking at signs and lighting, no signage is proposed at this time. Staff noted that any plans for future signage for the campground shall be submitted to the planning and development staff for review and approval. No lighting has been proposed. I will again amend this part to highlight the location of light, security lights that were already provided during applicants' previous presentations. Looking at environmental protection, the concern that may arise with campers perhaps dumping their wastewater, whether it would be black or gray water on site due to the fact that no dump station is provided at this time. Looking at those five final standards, staff noted that they do not see any issues with the proposed campground meeting these principles for this use. We recently already approved a commercial campground in the county, if you'll recall. Maybe also important to call attention to, the cumulative effect of all these uses. May place an extra burden on county roads, further take away from the rural character of the area. Now we get into the supplemental standards for commercial campgrounds. I noted in that northwest portion that I was able to get 2.5 acres out of that during my analysis. I'm not certain if the area proposed by the applicant is 2 acres or not. Maximum density, the applicant has not provided the number of spaces for campground spaces proposed in their application materials. There's also a requirement for drives 18 feet in width one way or 25 feet in width two way and provided with a smooth, hard, and dense surface that shall be durable and well drained under normal use and conditions. The applicant states they will be creating these drives in the future when they install permanent camping spaces. The ordinance requires these drives for any commercial campground, whether temporary or permanent. Rear side yard shall be screened from adjacent property by a planting screen not less than 10 feet in width, 6 feet in height, or by a fence wall, berm, or other comparable means. The applicant has proposed plantings in the future to meet this criterion, and other application materials has proposed plantings on the north property line, but not west rear, which is also known as the rear of the west property line. The ordinance requires these screenings for any commercial campground. Depending on where the spaces are located, there may be suitable screenage using existing structures. But since staff does not have specifics on where the camping spots will be located, now that we do, I will make note that there are several buildings there that may provide adequate screenage to the west. And if they put plantings on the north side as proposed, that would likely be appropriate screenage. For common services building, they noted that the manager of the building will be located at the residence of 26156 530th Avenue on the east side of 530th Avenue. No additional services would be offered at this time. Off-drive parking one space four within the area of each unit space. Applicants stated they will meet this criterion. And EA-911 addresses shall be posted for each site in accordance with the requirements of the Story County Ordinance number 161. The applicant stated that they will install address markers when permanent stalls are made. The ordinance requires the markers for any commercial campground, whether temporary or permanent. Story County Sanitarian noted her comments and her agency comments as per applicant portable toilets and hand washing facilities will be provided. All of Black events will most probably have less than the mass gathering number
that specifies how many portable units, ADA requirements, etc. Black, and she's citing state code there. Blacks indicated that they will follow the industry's recommendation on per capita units. Blacks also stated that there will be no RV wastewater collection sites. Need to keep an eye on the wastewater situation and all of the Blacks' undertakings. Again, staff recommend the following conditions of approval. Prior to the issuance of a conditional use permit, a detailed site plan showing the parking spaces and size of each space shall be provided. The number of spaces nor location as detailed on the site plan shall not be increased or changed without a modification to the conditional use permit. Campers shall only be allowed to park in those designated spaces. If there is not appropriate screening on a campground area using existing structures, the applicant shall also provide plans for creating a screen where necessary. Prior to the issuance of a conditional use permit, a lighting plan shall be submitted showing adequate safety lighting along access drives and entrances. Such lighting shall be in conformance with Section 88.09 of our ordinance, as determined by staff. Prior to the issuance of conditional use permit, plans for access drives shall be submitted and reviewed by staff to determine conformance to Section 90.1.A. Site number signs shall be posted in accordance with Ordinance 161. Applicant shall keep a log of all campers visiting the site, including license plate number and camping space number. Permit shall be reviewed by staff and the Board of Adjustment 1 year after approval. They shall determine at that time whether the applicant is meeting the conditions and any other issues that may require additional conditions or revocation of the permit. With that, I leave you with the following alternatives. Questions?
Questions of Brian?
As in the first one, the first application that we considered, you're not necessarily saying that if we apply these conditions that we'll take care of all of your concerns. You were just highlighting some ones you would recommend.
When I'm anticipating concerns that may arise during the review by the Planning and Commission and the Board of Adjustment, and in anticipation of those issues, trying to come up with conditions that may or may not facilitate fixing those issues.
Brian, would you remind me, you mentioned that there is another campground in Story County that, did I not hear you correctly?
Yeah, a few months ago, the Rolling Hills Commercial Campground, located just north of Maxwell there. I'm not sure if everyone was here for that meeting. To start off with four. Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, it was a different sort of case, but just bringing that to your attention.
Well, for the question, Ms. Black, would you like to present your case for this portion?
Once again, I'm Mrs. Black. My husband is here with me. We're the owners of Black's Heritage Farm and the properties that we have been speaking about all evening. The thought process behind this camping was once again a place for people to come, experience farm life, and get to visit a real live working farm. The thought process utilizing the property 26107 530th Avenue. We had the map designated where we had hoped to put the campers that came so that they would not only be able to see the barn, but see the animals. And hopefully on the north side of the property is where we hope to put the trees, and that will help create some ambiance for these type of events. I'm sure you're all well aware of all the flooding that has gone on at Saylorville and has definitely reduce the type of camping for families that can be done in that area and several other areas. Being so close to Ames, it makes it real easy for people to come out and visit us and camp out with their campers. Another thought process was that the folks that would come to the event centers would be able to utilize their campers instead of renting hotel rooms, which there is a huge lack of in Ames. And that way, once you own a camper, you look for places to utilize your purchase that you have made. We think that when people come to a rural campground like this, as they have in other areas, I know our area here in Iowa is not as prevalent as, say, many other areas. Once again, back to Grant's Farm in Missouri, there's a huge campground outside of Grant's Farm, and people come, they go to the Budweiser Brewery, they go to Grant's Farm, and they camp out, and they get a 2 or 3 day pass, so they get to see all those events as well as have their own hotel room, if you will, instead of hunting down hotels. It makes for a real cozy family outing, and we do encourage people to have a family experience at our farm. That's what we're all about. Do you have any questions for me?
How many spaces are you proposing?
I thought we had submitted between 40 and 80, depending once again on the types of motorhomes that come in. When Duane Class Reunion was here, I think we had 4, and the size of the units, they've got these fold-outs now and different things, makes a huge difference in what you can accommodate at your property.
So there's a big difference between 40 and 80. Let's go with the high end. 80 would, if I'm not mistaken, exceed the density that is allowed by the ordinance.
Correct. That's where we had hoped to utilize the other piece of property if we get to that point.
Okay.
We can do 40 to 60 here. If we get to the point where you are over that, then we would go over to the other side of the road and utilize that grassy area.
And what about the discrepancy that we seem to have with the application versus the code of, you know, I can understand why you'd want to put off investments as long as possible, but, you know, the discrepancy being you proposing everything in a temporary type of arrangement, whereas the code makes no differentiation between temporary and permanent with markers and a site plan that shows the spaces and roads and that sort of thing. How do you...
Once again, we're back to weather. We haven't been able to grade and work the property the way that we would have liked. We're roughly at least a minimum of 45 days behind schedule on everything, including putting on roofs on our property. We've had to delay that because of the weather. So we're not trying to evade the issue at all. We're just trying to be honest in our application.
But your a complete application should show the locations and a description of those roads.
I apologize. I thought we had submitted that, and I did not find it in my paperwork this evening, and I do apologize for that. The issue with the property, where you see the lines, that's where we hope to put the campers in those red lines. And there are, as Ryan mentioned earlier, there are 2 little buildings there. One of them holds a generator that used to generate our farm if the weather took out our electricity. That little generator helped us keep our animals alive and the water going, and so we would save that building. But there is another eyesore building there that needs to be moved off that piece where we hope to put the campers. And so once again, we're back to weather discouraging us from getting some of that work done. This is the area where we have it marked for campers. That's the closest to the road. It's the closest to the water if we go ahead and make water sites or water available to the site. It's also the closest to the electricity, to bring the campers electricity when it comes to that point. We've had some discussions about some type of dump site, but we don't have enough information to be educated enough to make that step yet. But as soon as we get enough information, we would be thinking along those lines as well. We would like to have happy campers.
Further questions?
I do know that in our investigations, going around and visiting all of these campsites that we have visited in the past and having friends and family that do this type of thing, we do not go camping, but they do, and they are giving us tips and ideas on what is needed at a campground and what people are really looking for. Sometimes you can spend a lot of money and not draw the audience that you want. And so, once again, we're trying to get the horse and the cart lined up together.
Thank you.
Okay.
Once again, I'll ask for any other public comment. Seeing none. Is there any further discussion
among us? Ryan mentioned the 2.5 acres when he thought it was the northwest corner. Now it's the northeast corner. So I think that there needs to be that condition met to make sure that it is 2.5 acres. Okay. I also am concerned about the temporary versus permanent. There's only, the expectations that it'll be carte blanche in terms of what they do, whether it's temporary or permanent.
Along those lines, it seems to me that the possible conditions that staff offered to us for our use, that the first three need to be produced in order for us to make a recommendation. I mean, that's, to me, fundamental for review of this application. Mm-hmm. The latter of three perhaps could be applied when and if a conditional use permit is approved, but to me, one, two, and three are just kind of fundamental to the application.
Ryan? Yeah, I agree.
Well, I entertain a motion. Can we have our motions?
Alternative number four, that we table the conditional use permit application to allow the applicants to address some of the missing information in the application that was outlined by staff.
Do I have a second?
I second.
I have a motion for item number four, which is to table the conditional use permit. And it has been seconded. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Miller?
Yes.
Hill?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Hauser?
Yes. Item number four passes. Thank you for coming, and good luck moving forward. We will proceed in our meeting to item number eight. Any other business? Number 9, follow-up on items recommended to the Board of Supervisors and Board of Adjustment. Leanne. Board of Adjustment met last Wednesday, and they did approve the Prairie Rivers of Iowa conditional use permit, as well as the Wolf School conditional use permit. Great. I think those are the only two items that are pending.
They added one condition on the Prairie Rivers for annual review. That wasn't proposed during planning zone commission. There's an issue raised with one of the board members regarding just traffic and ingress and egress out of there, depending on the number of visitors they may have on site. So we're going to look at it a year from now. That was last Wednesday.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Which one is going before the board tomorrow morning? I read the agenda, but I don't remember which one.
Ag subdivision, I think, is the only thing we have.
Oh, yeah.
Ag subdivision, those don't come to you.
Oh, okay.
Anything else? Long-range planning update?
Nope.
Commission comments. Susan, you got anything to say? You've been kind of quiet.
I have to apologize for my dog, who obviously had some comments to make.
No, he kind of enjoyed the dog. Maybe we should invite him next time, too.
Yeah, okay. No, other than that, no. Thank you for including me in this way.
Susan, thank you for allowing us to accommodate you, because that did ensure that we had a quorum and could go forth tonight.
Okay.
Something just made me want to ask the question. Something you mentioned earlier. What percentage of conditional use permits would you say typically end up with an annual or biannual, some sort of ongoing review? Is it most of them?
No. Maybe you're asking me, and I apologize, but I would just say it seems like lately they've become a popular thing. I think it just kind of has to do with some of the circumstances regarding some of these. I've never seen in my time here the board adding that into a condition, you know, beyond which was already recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. But yeah,
the sort of thing that if you always apply it, why not just put it in the code that how conditional use permits are handled, except it creates a bunch more work for you guys.
Well, and we're seeing the trend of having it added, but then at the same time, once one or two have been added, having them drop that condition.
I like adding it. Keeps them on the toes to not deviate from what was approved.
So, could I ask when you put all the conditions on, and sometimes they seem kind of surprised of what those are, so is the procedure that you make all these recommendations, and then they're supposed to go on the website, and they're supposed to look at them? And I mean, some of the stuff would have been nice if, you know, they had it all done, all the permits and the different things that you wanted them to have before they got here. Should they have known that? We operate as if there's a certain degree of responsibility on the part of the applicant, they're aware of the date that the staff reports are prepared. Actually, in this case, you do tell them, kind of coach them a little, just to say, make sure you look at this. There's things you might want to bring to the meeting and have ready to go. And you receive a notice of the meeting and time and place. We put a little burden on them to make sure that part of their due diligence is contacting us to see whether or not there are any conditions or any concerns with staff. And then vast majority of cases, the applicants have seen the staff reports prior to coming.
I don't even remember a time. This is the first time I've seen them come unprepared.
It's also important to know we create those staff reports for you. for the Planning and Zoning Commission Board of Adjustment. I mean, it's part of the public record, just like everything we do in our office, but you are the recipient of that information. I mean, yes.
It's open to everybody.
I understand that you can't. You've got a cycle to maintain. You can't go back and ask for more information. Can you fix this? Now give me that. You know, I know you can't do that.
There's absolutely a limit to that, and
right.
I'm...
At some point, you have to write that.
Sometimes we reach that limit where we just go with the information we have, and the process happens.
Staff comments? Anything? Motion to adjourn?
Make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.